I invite you to remain standing as you're able in reverence for God's Word as we come to our Gospel lesson this morning. The Gospel lesson this morning comes to us from the Gospel according to Luke, the 10th chapter, verses 1 through 20. Luke 10, verses 1 through 20. Let us hear now the Word of the Lord. After this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them two by two ahead of Him to every town and place that He was about to go. He told them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into His harvest field. Go. I am sending you out like lambs among wolves. Do not take a purse or bag or sandals. Do not greet anyone on the road. When you enter a house, first say, 'Peace to this house.' If a man of peace is there, your peace will rest on him. If not, it will return to you. Stay in that house, eating and drinking whatever they give you, for the worker deserves his wages. Do not move around from home to home. When you enter a town and are welcomed, eat what is set before you. Heal the sick who are there and tell them, 'The kingdom of God is near you.' And when you enter a town and are not welcomed, go into its streets and say, 'Even the dust of this town, of your town, that sticks to our feet, we will wipe off against you. Yet be sure of this, the kingdom of God is near. I tell you, it will be more bearable on that day for Sodom than for that town. Woe to you, Chorazin. Woe to you, Bethsaida. For the miracles that were performed in you have been performed in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented a long time ago, sitting in sackcloth and ashes. But it will be more bearable for Tyre and Sidon at the judgment than for you. And you, Capernaum, will you be lifted up to the skies? No, you will go down to the depths. He who listens to you listens to me. He who rejects you rejects me, but he who rejects me rejects the one who sent me." The 72 returned with joy and said, "Lord, even the demons submit to us in your name." He replied, "I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all the power of the enemy. Nothing will harm you. However, do not rejoice that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven." You may be seated. And let us pray. God, we pray that you would come over us. And oh God, we pray that you would overcome us. Amen. This morning, the title of the sermon is called "Sent Out." And I just want to warn you, it's going to take us a while to get there. Okay? Because I want to start with this question, this overarching question that may not immediately be something that you think about when you read this passage. This passage is, especially for something going on in the Gospels, it is very much action-oriented, right? There's a lot going on. There are 72 people who are sent out. Depending on the early text, some of the texts say 70, so if you have a different translation, sometimes it says 70 rather than 72. But they're sent out. They're scattered out among the villages that Jesus is about to go to, teaching and healing. There's a lot that's going on in this passage. This is very much an action passage. This is not just a passive teaching of Jesus. This isn't people sitting on a hillside and listening. This isn't people sitting in a pews and listening. They are actively engaged in the activity of ministry. So this question might not immediately come to mind, but I want you to think about this. Who are you? Who are you? Now, there are some of us that are more extroverted and some of us that are introverted. We all have our own personalities and the ways that we kind of are in the world, right, that are unique to us. But But some of us, when we get in large gatherings and we have to be with other people, you kind of sometimes have to identify who you are. So as a parent, sometimes you'll go to a child's birthday party and immediately your name really isn't that important. It's I'm Jed's dad. I'm Elika's dad. Right? I mean, you are known. Your identity is not in who you are. It's in who your child is. There are other times that, and we do this, Diane's in this service. I use this at the early service, so I'll use it at this service. Every year, we have a big family reunion on her dad's side of the family in West Virginia. I call it the Hillbilly Arab Family Reunion. But her family immigrated from Lebanon almost 100 years ago now, getting closer and closer to 100 years. And they first came to West Virginia to some small towns. And so we'll come, and we go just about every other year, but people that I've never met before, or I only seen, you know, every few years, they ask me, now, remind me who you are? Right? So I have to begin that I'm Diane's husband. Well, who's Diane? Well, Diane is Raymond's daughter. And you kind of, in this spaghetti bowl of who's who, you kind of have to start undoing the family tree, right? And so we're known sometimes by our identity within a family. And I use that example because I believe this, and we have to remember this, that Jesus came into the world to call to himself a people who are a family. I think oftentimes today in today's society we get caught up in the church being an institution. But primarily, God has called a church to himself, and the church is a family on the move. That's who we are. When you look at this text, all of the doing is about the being. Right? So I grew up in a church, and I think this is true of churches of many stripes, in particular many theological stripes. And that is that the church is a place of doing, right? I mean, you come and you're a kid and you sit in Sunday school and what does the teacher tell you? Do this, don't do this. Do this, don't do this. Now, there's a Southern phrase, this, we don't dip and we don't chew and we don't go with girls that do. I don't know if y'all have heard that one. Anybody heard that one? All right. Some of the men and I don't know what this says about our congregation, but I don't think anybody up here's hand was raised. But almost everybody, all these men that sit at the back of these coffee tables back there, almost all their hands went up. I don't know what that says. But it's about our behavior, right? And when we read the text that we had from Galatians today, it's not about our behavior. It's about our heart. It truly is about God coming into the world through Jesus Christ to call a people to himself. In this passage, as they come back and they report, and praise God that at least in this season they come back with a pretty positive ministry report that they can report. Jesus, we went out in your name. The demons submitted to us. And it wasn't about their own work. They gave credit where credit is due, that the demons were submitting not because of who they were, but because of who Jesus is. But Jesus, rather than saying, great are you because you've been faithful in the work that I asked you to accomplish, here's a gold star, Jesus doesn't do that. In the midst of the good things that they are doing, good ministry, Jesus does not call to the mind or give them praise for what they do. He reminds them who they are. He says, you should rejoice not in this. Don't rejoice in the successfulness of your ministry, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Rejoice in who you are. Rejoice that you are a son, that you are a daughter of God. I think far too often We believe that we're supposed to do church. Let me just say, as a pastor, as we prepare for Sunday mornings, there's a lot to do. There's a lot of doing. You know, Barb Fischel's the head of our worship committee. You can ask Barb. There's a lot of doing that happens. But primarily, what we do out of who we are. We do out of being related to God through His Son, Jesus Christ. And in this passage, what we see Jesus calling the disciples to do is something beyond what they can do. He tells them to go because the work is more plentiful than the workers. But he also says these words, "I am sending you out like lambs among wolves." Now, I'm not a betting man, but I can tell you this. That if you say, okay, there's a situation and there's two sheeps and a pack of wolves, who you got your money on? 10 times out of 10, I go, that's a pack of wolves. But I love what I read from a commentator this week who said, it is better to be in the midst of the lion's den and God be with you than to be anywhere else without Him. We have to know who our daddy is. When Nicodemus asked what he must do, Jesus said, you must believe, you must be born again. And now let me just say that none of us asked to be born. Being born is a passive thing that happens to you. It is not what you do. Not only that, on the day of Pentecost, when Peter stood up with the 11 and began to preach as the Holy Spirit was poured out and God began to do a new thing and the church was being established, the people who heard him said, "What must we do?" And he said, "Repent and believe." Remember the foretelling. The ministry of John the Baptist coming before Jesus was a ministry of announcing the same thing that Jesus is asking the disciples here to announce, that the kingdom of God is near. And his gospel was a gospel of repentance. In the midst of this, Jesus mentions Tyre and Sidon, which are two regions that generally are beyond what we would consider Israel. They are outsiders, they are pagans, they are foreigners. And yet Jesus mentions here two places that were Israeli, that were Jewish, Chorazin and Bethsaida. And he said, Tyre and Sidon, if they had seen what had happened here, the miracles that had happened that you have seen, they would have repented a long time ago. We're reminded of Jonah as he goes to the city of Nineveh. Remember that Jonah gets upset. He doesn't get upset because his ministry isn't successful. He gets upset because God gives mercy to foreigners. And that is the gospel that we have. That we go out into the world. That God calls us. That Jesus calls us to go and do something that is impossible. To go out as lambs among wolves. To announce the good news. And I love what Jesus does here because essentially he says that there are towns that will reject you. There are places where you will not be welcome, but there are places where you will be welcomed. Ministry and the way that we share the gospel with those who live around us. There are some times in which we have success stories, and there are times in which we are flatly rejected. But the being rejected or the being accepted is not up to us. It is not about the power of our ministry. It is about the power of Christ working in the world. We are called to be reminded not to be too high for the successes we have, nor too lows for those things that we might see as failures, but always to be reminded of who we are in Christ. When we look at the writer of Hebrews, he talks about this identity of Christ. He talks about this being a family of God.
This chapter is often called, in Hebrews 11, called the faith chapter. But I want us to notice a few things, and we won't read it all, but it begins this way. Now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. By faith we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what is visible. By faith Abel offered God a better sacrifice than Cain did. By faith he was commended as a righteous man when God spoke well of his offerings, and by faith he still speaks even though he is dead. By faith Enoch was taken from this life so that he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. And without faith it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists, and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. By faith, Noah, when warned about things not yet seen, in holy fear built an ark to save his family. By his faith, he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. What do all those people have in common?
They do have faith. That is very obvious. That's what 8:15 said. You were here at the early service, so you cheat. It's all one family, right? The next portion of that has to do with Abraham, who becomes the father of Israel.
By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. Men take comfort. By faith, he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise, for he was looking forward to the city with foundation, whose architect and builder is God. Abraham followed God. Came into the promised land, but he did not possess it. He lived in temporary dwellings, as did his son and his grandchildren, because he was looking forward to something that was beyond this world, a hope that would not fade and it would not perish. He was sure of what he hoped for. He was certain of what he did not yet see. By faith, Abraham, even though he was past age and Sarah herself was barren, was enabled to become a father because he considered him faithful who had made the promise. That is who we are. And so from this one man, and he as good as dead, came descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as countless as the sand on the seashore. All these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance. And they admitted that they were aliens and strangers on earth. You and I, we have been born into a new family. We now are aliens and strangers in the world because our citizenship is not of this place. We must know of our identity in Christ. And I don't have time to tell you about everybody else and everything that they do in faith in Hebrews 11. I do want to mention Moses. I mean, Moses led a family of people, right, up out of Egypt, into a place where on one side of them, in front of them, lay the Red Sea, and behind them lay the greatest military power that the world had ever known. Now tell me, do you want to be in that situation? It is a situation where they are lambs amongst wolves, and yet God was with them.
And God made a way. We live in a world today where we can read all kind of naysaying things about the church in the Western world. Right? But perhaps that is because sometimes and far too often we see and we have believed and we have thought of church as an institution, a societal institution, rather than a holy people of God on the move. You and I are sent out. Because as we remember and as we know in a more rich and a deeper way
more and more as the waves crash over us, the waves of grace, as we live this journey of faith, we become to understand more and more who we are in Christ. And that gives us the freedom to do what God has called us to do. We don't become children because we do. We are children, and so we do. We've never said to our kids, we're working on our kids learning chores around the house. I know no parents ever have problems with kids doing chores. But see, we tell our kids they do chores because they are our kids. We've never said to them, if you do your chores, then you are our kids. But oftentimes we kind of believe that in the church, don't we? If I'm good, God will love me. If I mess up, I will lose God's love. It's not true. That's the way the world operates, and it is a lie. We are children of God because God has loved us through what He has accomplished in His Son, Jesus Christ. And because of who we are now free to proclaim the gospel to a world that needs to hear the good news of Jesus Christ. And hear me when I say this. If you notice this, they didn't build a building. Jesus didn't say, okay, I got 72 now. We got enough people for new church start. Which, by the way, I'm all for new church starts. But we have to be reminded that it's not about the physical location. It's about us being sent forth. In Acts, just a few chapters after Pentecost. In Acts, let me find my bookmark. In Acts chapter 8. We read these words right after Stephen has been stoned to death and preached the gospel. In Acts chapter 8, verse 1b, it says, on that day a great persecution broke out against the church of Jerusalem, and all except the apostles were scattered throughout Judea and Samaria. Godly men buried Stephen and mourned deeply for him. But Saul began to destroy the church. Going house to house, he dragged off women and men and put them in prison. Remember the promise of Jesus, you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Samaria, and Judea, and to the very ends of the earth. We are called to know that as we have been redeemed by God, as He is redeeming us still, that we are His. And we are sent. We are gathered here on Sunday morning to be the church, not to do church. But because we are here gathered being church, we are called each and every day to be sent forth to be the church in what we do. As we live amongst the world as aliens and strangers. This morning, once again, I will ask you, who are you? And how will knowing that you are a daughter or a son of Christ change the way you live as one who is sent to the world? We, each and every one of us, we've been kind of circling back to this passage over and over in 2 Corinthians 5, right? We are called to be ambassadors for Christ. Not just preachers are called, not just those missionaries that we send to the places that we send far off to other places in the world, but you are called, and I am called, to be ambassadors for Christ in the places that God has ordained us to live and to be. In Jesus' name, amen.